Today on the Word of Truth Revealed.
In the previous state of being, that's what it means to be restored, to take you to the previous state of being. Even Psalm 51, David cried out, Lord, restore to me the joy. I had joy, but it's gone. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Uphold me with a willing spirit.
Bishop Clark says restoration in the Bible is synonymous with healing, repairing, and returning to a previous state of being.
In other words, what will hold me or make me connected with you is when I don't have to love you or serve you because it's laborious to me or you're forcing me to do it. Just give me a willing heart. When you put something on my heart, make me willing to go after it.
Celebrating 32 years of ministry, you're listening to the Word of Truth Revealed with Bishop Merton L. Clark, author, speaker, and lead pastor of the International Ministries of Truth Revealed, a Spirit-filled fellowship of believers located in Palm Bay, Florida. Continuing with the Restore series, today, Bishop Clark discusses how restoration is a recurring theme in Scripture as those who strayed away from the teachings and love of God sought to restore their divine relationship with Him. Let's turn to Acts chapter 3, verses 17 through 25, as Bishop Clark begins the message, The Origin of Restoration, Part 1 and 2.
Peter here speaks to the crowd about a time of refreshing that was foretold by the prophets, that a time of refreshing would come from the Lord. I want to bring you back to verse 19, repent. That is out of Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Repent then and turn to God so that your sins, King James says, will be blotted out. The New International Version says wiped out, that the times of refreshing, the times of renewal, the times of restoration may come from the Lord. I want you to pull that out in part B of that verse. It doesn't come from man. Refreshing comes from the Lord. The refreshing comes from the Lord. In other words, the origin of all refreshing comes from the Lord. If you've ever recovered a relationship, if you've ever been restored in any way or any place in your life, remember it didn't come because you desired it. I know you have a desire to see restoration, but you must understand that God gave you the desire to correct some things in your life. And He is the origin, the author, and the finisher of restoration. He started it, and if you trust Him, you will see it completed in your life. I like verse 25, and you are heirs of the prophets. He prophesied it to Abraham. He prophesied it to the prophets, especially Moses, that God would raise up one of his brethren, likened unto Moses, a leader of the people. Speaking of Christ himself, he prophesied that Jesus would come as a part of the nation. But through him, all peoples, it's right there in the text, not just the nation of Israel, but all peoples. Through your offspring, all peoples on earth will be blessed. But I like verse 25, you are heirs of the prophets. You're right in line for this blessing. You're an heir. Just like if I was a multi-billionaire and you were my heir, that means when I pass away, you would be the one that would inherit the billions, even though you didn't do anything to raise the money. But because you're connected to me, you become an heir of everything that I own. And this is the kind of mentality we need to have for those that are braggadocious believers. Braggadocious believers walking around pompous, pious peacocks, walking around prancing about, I'm the best. You need to understand you didn't do anything to earn this. This is why everybody needs to be walking in humility today. You're an heir of the promise of God. In other words, he joined you in even as a wild olive shoot. You're not even a part of the regular foliage. He pulled a wild vine and grafted it into himself, glory to God, and allowed life to pump into you, and you became likened unto the natural, and therefore you're entitled to the fruit, glory to God, and the resources of the one who made you heir. And so you are heirs of the prophets and of the covenant. It's not that we earned it. It came from him. Heir of the prophet and of the covenant made with your father. Glory to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. The word Christ means anointed. And we need to celebrate the anointing that's on the anointed one. The oil that flows from him. It flows from the head, which is Christ, and then on the beard to those who are mature. Little boys don't grow beards. And if you're growing a beard, you should start acting like you're maturing and developing to some degree. Because the oil doesn't come to those that lack beards. It comes to those from the head to the ones who are mature in the kingdom. To the ones who don't just look physically mature, but in their mind and in their soul, they're able to manage things and put stuff into place in its rightful place and structure their lives because of the oil that's coming from the head to then the bearded ones, then to the skirt, that which is visible to everybody. And if you keep working with the anointing, it would eventually sodden and saturate the land that surrounds us. If you want the commanded blessing, hallelujah, to touch household, get under, align yourself with the head so that the anointing would rest upon the mature and then to those things that are visible and the land as well. Can the church say amen? If you're the bearded one or if you're the skirt, the part of the church visible. If you're part of the church visible, glory to God, that which people see. Some people are part of the church hidden. No one ever see you. You're working behind the scenes, but if you're part of the church visible, you never have to scream for the anointing. You don't even have to ask for it. All you must do is align yourself. Align yourself with the purpose of God, and the oil will run naturally down. Gravity pulls it down. Glory to God. Gravity pulls it from the head to the beard and then to the skirt. So you never have to say, God, anoint me. If you're not anointed, it means there's an area of your life that's not aligned. Get aligned, you're going to get sodden with the oil that's coming from the head. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Glory, hallelujah. So restoration in the word of God is synonymous with several things. Number one, it's synonymous with healing. It's also synonymous with repairing. Even now, I decree that God is repairing the breach, the breaches in our lives, the separations, the links that have been broken. So it is synonymous with healing. When I say restoration, you need to say, God, I claim my healing. That's good. Somebody's catching it. Amen. If I say God wants to restore you, what are you saying? I claim my what? I claim my healing. And it's also synonymous with repairing. It means there's something broken and God wants to repair it or make it work more efficiently. Restoration is also synonymous with returning. So there's some things or people that have left and God says, I'm going to bring them back. I'm even decreeing and declaring right now in this church, you will see a group of people who left the ministry. As they meander, they're going to start saying, you know what? I need to go home. And there's going to be a returning. And when they do, I don't want you acting funny with them. I want you to treat them like a lady and like a man. Treat them like a lady. Hey, hey, hey. Don't. Act like they never left before in their lives. Can the church say amen? Don't treat Michael Jordan right. And when somebody comes that's been gone for a while, you snarl your nose at them. I want you to treat everybody the same way. Can the church say amen? Well, I'll preach if y'all say amen. Amen. In the previous state of being, that's what it means to be restored, to take you to the previous state of being. Even Psalm 51, David cried out, Lord, restore to me the joy. I had joy, but it's gone. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Uphold me with a willing spirit. In other words, what will hold me or make me connected with you is when I don't have to love you or serve you because it's laborious to me or you're forcing me to do it. Just give me a willing heart. When you put something on my heart, make me willing to go after it. That's how God upholds us with the willing spirit that he releases within us. Notice he restores the joy and then he gives us a willing heart to keep pursuing after him. Although we may stray from steadfast faith. At times we even stray from obedience. But there are numerous passages of scripture in the Word of God that helps us to understand that God is all about restoration. So look to the Word for inspiration, for renewal. For renewal of your entire life. Restoration is also a recurring theme in the scriptures. The Bible is always talking about being restored. But those who strayed from the teaching, there are people who are actually teaching false doctrine, straying from the truth. The Bible says, in the last days there will be perilous times. Men will be lovers of themselves more than lovers of God. They will even heap unto themselves teachers after itching ears, teaching stuff that's not even in the Word, or twisting the scripture to fit what they want. God wants us to stick with the scripture, even if it slaps you in the face, pow! Even if the Word slaps you, if it slaps me, pow! I got to stand still and still receive the Word that slaps me. Glory to God. And you have to be the kind of person that stands still and let the Word slap you. Let's see how much love you got for Jesus when it slaps you. Or do you walk out when it slaps you? As long as it's slapping them, you can point fingers. But when it starts slapping you, what do you do then? Can the church say amen? Amen. Restoration is a recurring theme in the Word. For those who strayed from biblical faith, foolishness. You started with faith, you can't end with flesh. Or with saying, I'll do this and do that to please God. Nothing we do pleases God. It starts with faith in God, receiving Him as the penalty for our sins. From there, we start doing what we do. And all through the process, we give God glory as we move toward the promised land for saving us, sanctifying us, and filling us with His Spirit. God sought to restore even the divine relationship with His people. And that is a wonderful thing. He repairs what is decayed. Talking about restoration, including personal relationships, fortunes, and your health. So God repairs that which is decaying, including personal relationships, fortunes, money lost, and your health that's lost. And when I say restoration, you need to start thinking about personal relationships in your life. You need to think about your fortunes. You want to think about money because He wants you to have some money. And you want to think about health. He wants you to walk in optimal health. The Bible says it in Hosea chapter 6 and verse 1. Come. Remember the origin. Come. Let us return to the Lord. It looks like we desire to turn to the Lord when you first read verse 1. But notice what He says. He has torn. Before you said I'm returning back, it says He has torn us to pieces. But He will heal us. He has injured us, but He will bind up our wounds. Notice devil isn't even mentioned. I want you all to get this. The devil isn't a part of this tearing. The devil isn't a part of this injury. Because a lot of times He loves us. I think I shared with you a few weeks ago, when a sheep would leave in Palestine and go astray, especially if it was constantly leaving, the shepherd would find the sheep. Thank God he would rejoice. But what you don't understand, he would then break the sheep's leg himself. He would break the leg and then put a splinter on the leg, lift up the lamb, put it on his shoulder, and walk it back to the fold. Glory to God. And carry it until it heals. And when that lamb starts walking again, guess where it's stuck? Right next to the shepherd. No matter where he moved, the one that will go astray was always connected. And that's what God has been doing to some of us. You think it's out of the noise. You think the noise is all about people that's attacking you. But what God is doing is breaking your tendency. Because if you're left alone, you'll always go astray. A child left alone will bring his mother to shame. A man is not good for a man to be alone. Because a man can do more damage to himself when he's alone than anybody else can do to him. So God says, because you have a tendency when you're alone in your mind, in your psyche, to go astray, I'm going to break you. Then I'll carry you. Ain't no footprints in the sand but mine. You're not even on the ground. I got you lifted up. Everything that you experience, everything that you're accomplishing right now, is not just because of human ingenuity. There is a divine initiative and origin. The man is carrying you back to the fold. Come on, say divine initiative.
Glory to God.
This is not human ingenuity. This is not you working some stuff out. This is not you applying yourself. God is carrying you to a new place. And when he put you on the ground, you say, come, let us return to the Lord. You can't read that verse without seeing a God who broke you, who loved you enough to break you down. If you continue to make the money, if you continue to rise with the heart you have, you would have left him totally. He loved you enough to crumble it, to shock you, to shock everything about you, because he loves you that much. And this is what they say in Hosea chapter 6. He has torn us to pieces, but he will heal us. He has injured us, but he will bind up our wounds. In Hosea, we see a woman by the name of Gomer who was married to Hosea, but she was a woman of whoredom. God told him to go to the red light district and I want you to marry her. The miracle is not that he married her. The miracle is that he fell in love with her. He knew she was a whore when she married him. But he fell in love with her. He loved everything about her. Even though she didn't stay faithful to him, he still loved her. Even though she got pregnant from other people, he still loved her and took care of all the babies. Because God was showing Israel what it's like for him to be in love with someone that's not in love with him. Y'all ready for this? Talking about restoration. He fell in love with her. He went to the window. She'll stay gone for 5 weeks. He'll go into the window looking to see if she come back. Like God does for us. Ain't prayed in a year. Still bless you. Woo, Jesus. Never say hallelujah. Won't even praise. But he still sends the blessings your way. You get pregnant from the world, bring back in an ideal, he still watches over it like it's his. Got your mind and everything else, got ideas, but it's not coming from him. Yet he watches over the children like it's his. Yes. How many ministries have started and God hadn't? He wasn't the origin. He wasn't the one who seeded it. He wasn't the one who gave the idea. Yet he watches over it because it's helping people. Yes. It didn't come from his heart. It didn't come from his mind. It didn't come from being intimate with him. It came from a tie with something in the street. How many of us have been torn but healed by the Lord? One day, Hosea goes to the window. Gomer never comes back. 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 5 weeks. So he leaves the children with a caretaker and he goes out looking for her. When he finds her, she's on a slave block, real skinny. And they're jeering her because she doesn't have luster anymore. Selling her for pennies. She's in so much debt, they're selling her for pennies. Nobody wants to buy her. At one time, everybody wanted her. But now nobody wants her. She's all washed up. Hosea comes to the crowd. I pay top dollar for her. I still see the value in her. Because I love her. Y'all don't understand love. You don't understand. Love is not just when you're performing. Restoration is about, I know your potential. He pays top dollar for her, puts a coat around her, takes away her shame, takes her all the way back home. He doesn't say, you messed me up. He takes her back home. He takes and put it in the tub. And he washes her out. He washes her hair with his words. There he tells her how he feels. You hurt me deep. As he's washing her out, dousing her with water, but also feeding the honey. Make sure that her luster comes back. He restores her to health. He washes her out. Make sure everything is clean, inside and out. Ooh, Jesus. And then when he can make her a slave himself, he says, I'm not going to be make you a slave. Glory to God. Today I'm going to change my name. I'm not your master. Ooh, Jesus. I'm going to set you free. Let me tell you something else I'm going to do. I purchased the valley called Achor, and I bought it for you. I want you to thrive. I want you to have fortune. Ooh, Jesus. Talking about love. When you read Hosea, when he talks about this in chapter 6, you have to understand God will tear you, or he'll allow circumstance to make you real skinny. He'll take away the luster because he loves you. And after it's all over, he'll redeem you or restore you back. Come on, let's give him a praise for the restoration, not only of Gomer, but your restoration, my restoration. It's all coming from God. We're changed by seeing the Lord's glory. We're changed by seeing the Lord's glory in his church. God wants the church to be restored. We're changed by seeing the Lord's glory also in his ministries. God wants the ministries to thrive. We're changed by seeing the Lord's glory in our spiritual gifts in operation. They can't just be in operation with regard to the leader and his staff. The gifts need to be in operation as it relates to all of you, because every one of you has been given a gift, and there's like 23 of them that are manifested in the scriptures. They're not just 9. Gifts of administration, gifts of mercy, gifts of healing. I'm not talking about talents right now. I'm talking about gifts of the Spirit. God even gave us talent, but that's not how you serve him through talent. You serve him through your gifts. You use your talents to serve. But the talents don't worship God. So we're changed by seeing the Lord's glory in his church, in his ministries, and in the operation of spiritual gifts. And the gifts are the overall aspects of his nature. They are the overall aspects of the nature of God. Talking about the origin of restoration. Everything that you see from gifts and fruit are aspects of his nature pumping through us. Amen. They reveal his glory. The 9 fruit of the Spirit and the 9 charisma gifts in 1 Corinthians 13, but also in Romans 12 and Ephesians 4. We behold, we look closely and intensely at the overall aspects of the nature of God. And if you can see them, you're likely to be more likely to be changed and transformed to the very nature of God yourself. So the gifts and that are in operation, if you really gaze and look at them and start operating, you'll start picking up the nature of God yourself.
You know, scripture teaches us that if my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from wickedness, I will hear from heaven, forgive sin, and heal the land. Trim Nation, let us make time for prayer. We're praying that God's kingdom would come and that his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So join our international prayer network as we go before God in prayer. Sundays at 6 a.m. and Fridays at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can join by phone, dial 1-414-885-3845. That is 1-414-885-3845. Here's the pin, 875-606-243. I say again, 875-606-243. Again, you're the crescendo of God's creation. He loves you, and we're praying for you. We'll see you there.
Thanks for joining us for the Word of Truth Revealed. If you were blessed by today's teaching, we would love to hear from you. You can write to us at The Word of Truth Revealed, P.O. Box 60128, Palm Bay, Florida 32906, or you can email us at thewordoftruth@truthrevealed.org. Now, for your personal copy of today's message from the Restore series, The Origin of Restoration, Part 1 and 2, when you write or email us, use reference number 2109-2608. That's reference number 2109-2608. Or log on to our website and download the MP3. Help us unveil truth to the nations by becoming a partner with the International Ministries of Truth Revealed. We would like to thank you in advance for your consideration and for generously supporting this ministry. Connect with us, Trim Nation, by downloading the Truth Revealed Church app today. For Android users, go to the Play Store, and for Apple users, go to the App Store. Follow Trim Nation on social media by logging into Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or visit us on the web at truthrevealed.org. And now, a final thought from Bishop Clark.
He was wounded for our transgressions. He was pierced for our rebellion, bruised for our guilt and iniquities, crushed for our sins. The chastisement needed to obtain peace and well-being for us was upon him, and with the stripes that wounded him, we're healed and made whole. There are so many bruised people in our world today, bleeding underneath your skin. But I have good news for you. Yes, there was a stain placed on your personality, but God has given you a promise, and you're blessed with that promise if you access his word, access Jesus himself. You will be made whole. So rest it. Enter a Sabbath rest from the pain of your wounds. Ice it. Make sure that you don't allow anger to take over you. Compress it. Wrap the word of God around your situation, around your bleeding heart. And lastly, elevate it. Make sure you lift it up before the Lord. He's the only one that can heal you. And he's ready, willing, and able to do it.
Listening to